Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. In Odyssey Station. The Score!
Do you look at what's going on the north side to see what they're doing anytime?
Yeah, I mean, Ian Happ is one of my best friends outside of baseball, too, so I'm always checking on him and even the new guys. I want to see them do well. It's a great place to play whenever the game's on, the day games are on, you see, and Wrigley is Wrigley, so it's always fun to see.
It's Anthony Rizzo the other day, talking to the media over there on the south side, but talking a lot about the north side. Some interesting stuff in there. There was a lot of talk about the culture with the Cubs and about wanting to stay and then having it hurt and whether he and Jed have patched things up. And he said there's nothing really to patch up. It's just business. Heard him there talking about some of his former friends or former teammates who are still friends, like Ian Happ, stuff like that. There was also some stuff in there about the ballpark and about whether he would be doing what he's doing with the Yankees at Wrigley. And that answer is no, because things are very, very different. But want to talk about Rizzo's homecoming of sorts and, of course, the big matchup on the south side between two teams that will hope and expect to be facing each other in the postseason a while from now when we get through another 130 games of a baseball season. So we'll do that with our friend Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune, who joins us on the Circa Resort Casino Hotline, Circa Sportsbook and Casino. Hello, Sully. Good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you, Speaks?
I'm good. So, yeah, the hug from Rizzo the other day. You're going to have to tell me how many people got hugs like that, because it is something to do with your height, of course, with his height, of course, and just the thickness of the arm muscle and, of course, John Greenberg's angle. It looked like your head was not there at that point.
No, it looked like I was like being swallowed by the marshmallow, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man or something like that. Yeah, it was very embarrassing, but, you know, I'm not like a hugger. I don't hug players, but and the guy comes up to you with his arms out like that, you're kind of stuck. So, you know, it was nice of him. I think Bruce Levine might have gotten a hug.
Okay.
And
okay.
Maybe Cheryl.
Cheryl Ray, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure if Carrie Muscat was there, she would have gotten one. But, you know, I did cover him 10 years, so we did have a pretty good relationship. So it's always good to see someone that you used to cover and knowing that they're still happy and in another town.
Yeah, see, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic. And for anyone who doesn't, who thinks, like, you're a journalist, and how can that be? Go to if you're lucky enough to get ballpark access and to get clubhouse access, you're hanging around some days, you know. And I want to ask you if we're back to full hanging around like it used to be. But you know, you're hanging around, you're talking to people, seeing them go through their stuff. And for 10 years, you watched really Anthony Rizzo grow up, and he is he can be a hugger, that's for sure. Are we back to full on? MLB, you know, access in the clubhouse in terms of being able to be there and think, you know, I've got something I want to talk to with this person about. I'm going to go wait by the locker because it's very special and very rare. And I worried that we were never going to get back to it after COVID, frankly.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's some exceptions, but, you know, I was out there Monday and I was able to talk to Liam Hendricks for a while about pitching in the old days, like Mike Marshall throwing 100 plus innings and how he kind of envied those guys. And I got to talk to Dylan Cease about his start and his crazy prediction about the Anderson home run. So, yeah, I mean, it depends on the players, but most of them are pretty accommodating.
What are you seeing in that White Sox locker room that I know you've been in? Before we get back to Rizzo, but that White Sox team, what's their level of you know comfort when you're in there, confidence when you're in there? Paint a picture of the vibes if you can.
You mean confidence in themselves?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think they're a very confident team. I think they just think of this as kind of a blip and that they'll get over it. You know, it's been a tough start, the 8-game losing streak, and you know, giving up double digits 3 times in the last week, but. You know, the talent is there, obviously. And I think the division, like you said earlier in the show, you know, it's Minnesota, Cleveland. They're not teams that are going to, like, run off. So I think if they just, you know, stay even or a little above 500 for a while, then they should win this division easily. But obviously, you know, you got to do it on the field. And so far, the bullpen hasn't lived up to expectations. I think they're leading the league in walks allowed or walks per 9. Mm-hmm. 7 blown saves already. So they got to fix that. And obviously, the hitting's got to step it up, too.
What's your perception of how much Tony La Russa utilizes everybody on his coaching staff? You know, like, how much does he listen to people? How much does he listen to the front office? That sort of collaborative thing that most teams are around Major League Baseball these days. I don't, you know, the perception is that Tony doesn't have it like that, doesn't manage it like that. What do you think?
Well, you know, I don't know for sure. I'm not in there, you know, when he's talking to his coaches. I do think he has a lot of confidence in, like, Ethan Katz, for instance. But, you know, he's going to do it his way. You know, just like last night, throwing Graveman 2 innings and bringing on Liam in the 8th to get the final 5 outs. I don't know if those are, like, moves that you get going to make all the time. But, you know, that was his gut feeling. I think he thought they had to win that game after the things that had happened all week. So I think he's going to go by his gut mostly. And, you know, like the Byron Buxton thing that everyone talked about earlier in the year when Buxton, you know, hit the game-winning home run, and he got a lot of criticism for that. And Hahn really didn't defend him, so that kind of made it look like, you know, he and Hahn weren't always in agreement. And I'm sure that's going to happen a lot because it's just the way Tony is, and that's why, you know, Reinsdorf wanted him because he's had a lot of success doing it by the gut. So it's going to be like this all year and forever how long Tony hangs around here, that people are going to be upset with some of his pitching decisions. And, you know, it's just the way it's going to be. I think he knows that, and he's fine with that.
Yeah. However, it's just a
funny thing. It's great for us. Let's face it. How much did you talk about Rick Renteria on your show?
Yeah, not a ton. Sometimes.
Really?
But yeah.
I don't remember one word he said now that he's gone.
I tell you what I remember. I remember when he was pissed that he had to start Odrysimer Despaigne again. I remember that he was like, man, as long as I have him, we're going to keep putting him out there. And it was like, oh, yeah, Rick doesn't want him anymore. Okay, that's interesting.
I mean, and I like Rick. He was a great guy, but yes. He just wasn't good for the writers. And Tony is like a goldmine for writers and talk radio and the internet and Twitter and everything else.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. Is that part of Jerry's calculus, you think?
No, come on.
Tony's going to drive people crazy and they will get discussed for better or for worse. As long as it's discussed, then Jerry's happy. You don't think that's part of his mindset at all?
I think his only mindset was, you know, he had it in his head forever that, you know, he should never let him go in the first place. And Tony was willing to come back. And I think Reinsdorf said, okay, let's right this wrong before I, you know, leave this earth. And he did it. And it's his team. He can do what he wants. It's too bad for Rick Hahn because, you know, it didn't make him look like he had power. But, you know, ownership has its privileges.
Yeah, it does. It's the lifelong make good. Yeah, let me think about what did I do wrong 40 years ago, and what could I do better? I'm thinking about, you know, I'll work on that. I'll get back to you by the end of the show.
And something in college, I'm sure you regretted. I know I had a million regrets from college.
How dare you? I wasn't in college 40 years ago. Come on, Paul.
Oh, excuse me.
I'm not. Right. You know, who
30 years ago?
Yeah.
20 years ago?
30, that's right, mister. It's a very 30s. Very.
I'm talking
different.
About myself then. Yeah, I've never been invited back to my college in 40 years, and it has to be a reason for it. So
you're like a venerable like Tribune, Chicago Tribune, big market newspaper salt, and
yeah,
they haven't even invited
you think
back.
So.
Yeah.
No, they don't even acknowledge me, and it's a major university too.
So. What university is it?
Missouri.
Yeah, that's a big journalism school too. What's that about?
Yeah, I talk to Kelly Crow all the time because she is always invited back, and you know, I was like, "Wow,
all right,
I'll go with you."
This is important. What did you do?
Yeah.
What did you do?
It was just a lot of. It's a long story. It'll be in the book,
okay.
Or maybe in the George Hoffman podcast or something.
That's where you tell stories that people don't know. That's where you do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune is here with us. What would be the Royko related baseball story that would go in the book, Paul? For those who don't know, Paul was a runner. Is that right? You were like
Legman.
This is what we call it.
Yeah.
The Legman for the venerable Paul Mike Royko. So he's going to write a column, and he says, "I need to know X, Y, and Z before I can write the column. Go find it out, kid." Stuff like that?
Yeah. You know, I would, people always called up like, you know, hey, I got a great story for Royko and he doesn't want to listen to it. So I had to listen to it and then say, you know, take all the notes and this person says this, are you interested in this? And he'd say, no, I'm not interested in that. We just hang up on those people. Okay. So you had to really think like how he thought, which was impossible because he was a genius and, but it was a good learning experience. The one baseball story, I guess, would be when my cousin tried to get me out of work for opening day for the Cubs one year. And Royko says to him, he calls up. We had this all set up so that Royko would answer the phone, which he doesn't normally do. But he answers the phone. He says, oh, this is a friend of Paul's. I have a ticket to the game today. And Royko says, well, I happen to know Paul's working today, and he won't be able to get off. He hung up on it. So,
and you didn't go?
I did not go. He didn't let me offer any baseball related games, although he did let me go to the Bears Super Bowl in New Orleans. So Wow. He did give me a day off for that.
Well, there you go. All right, well, that's a good one. But I thought the man loved baseball enough to give you a few days off. I'm doing something on the show this year where I want to, every guest that I get a chance to talk to, I want to get their baseball bona fides. So, and these are things, I didn't give you a heads up, but I'll give you, but I think you'll do fine. Who was one of your most favorite players in the game from the past, and why? Who was one favorite player and why?
Like growing up? Yep. Or covering it.
Yep. Or covering. Yeah, but go ahead, give me
Billy Williams. Okay. Billy Williams and Dick Allen, I would say, back in the, like, 70s.
Why Dick Allen? Tell us why Dick Allen.
Well, my dad had season tickets for the Sox, so I went out to a lot of games at Old Comiskey, and I was there for the Yankees game where he, you know, hit the home run, the pinch hit home run. It was famous. They got a book out on it now, the Chili Dog Home Run, they called it. Mm-hmm. And he was just so cool. He had his own talk show, and he just seemed like a kind of counterculture guy that I would love. And Billy really was the fact that everyone loved Ernie and Santo, and I didn't go with the flow there. I just liked Billy Williams, and I was left-handed like him. So, yeah, he was. And meeting him was, you know, just amazing, and he's such a cool guy. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'd say those two.
All right, cool. Chili Dog MVP is the book that goes back to when Dick Allen was, you know, the king of Chicago and Chicago baseball. This could be when you were covering. It could be whatever comes to mind. The best baseball game you've ever had a chance to see in person. The very best game you've had a chance to see in person, Paul.
Oh, my God. That's a tough one. I would guess, the Bartman game was, as far as memorable, it was not a good memory for Cub fans, but it was amazing. The World Series.
But on that game, that game six of the 2003 National League Championship Series, what jumps out at, like, what jumps out at you, the feelings and electricity in the ballpark before and after that stuff, or everything?
Just the fact that they were going to go to the World Series and everyone in the park was sure of it. You talk about 2003.
Yep.
Yeah, and everyone was talking about it, and, you know, I was getting texts or emails or whatever was the technology at the time from people congratulating me on covering the Cubs going to the World Series, and then that happened, and, you know, everything fell apart after that. I don't blame Bartman, but, you know, there, you can't argue that everything happened right after that. So,
yeah.
That was... And then the next day, Ozzie just, like, messing with Cubs fans. It was just because he was one of Florida's coaches back then. And it just, the whole two-day stretch was just like a mirage almost.
Wow. I don't think about Ozzie's role in that as a coach messing with Cub fans. You're talking about before and during Game 7, Ozzie on the field?
Yeah. Right before Game 7, you know, it was really quiet there because everyone was... You know, even though Kerry Wood was pitching, everyone was, like, freaked out that, oh, my God, they're going to blow this. And then Ozzie was like, what's wrong with you people? It's Game 7. Wake up. It's like they're just like, you know.
Wow.
It was a vintage Ozzie.
Yeah, that's a boy. I was in the right field bleachers for that game for Kerry Wood, and he was good and then gave it up. And then,
hit the home run.
He hit the home run. That's still as loud as that ballpark has ever been when I've been in it. When Kerry hit that homer, you know.
Yeah, was a great moment, and just too bad it ended that way. But then, you know, the 16 thing would have been different, so it all worked out.
I did buy a T-shirt on Sheffield that night that said "Chicago Cubs 2003 National League Champions." I don't have the T-shirt anymore.
What'd you do with it?
I don't know. I lost it in a move somewhere. I remember seeing it and being like, oh, that ain't right. That shouldn't exist. All right, I'll buy it. All right, and then this.
You know, we got to give Bartman a lot of credit for staying underground for how many years has it been? Almost 20 years since then. I mean,
we could give him credit, and we could also, you know, shame our entire industry for keeping his name alive, including you, Paul. You know,
you can't ignore the whole thing.
I mean, you can't
pretend it didn't happen.
But we could call it.
Talk about it every day.
We could call it Game Six of the 2003
instead of the Bartman game. And call those seats like the left field seats instead of the there's a ball in the Bartman seat.
No, right. We don't have to do that. Maybe we should.
And I think they took the Bartman seat away, as I recall, in the remodeling.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. It still looks like it would be the same. Area, but that entire area has been rebuilt. It does not exist anymore.
But don't you think that every time there's a foul ball? Of course.
I think, there's that part of the world. Oh, yeah. But you know what? Maybe Moises Alou shouldn't have screamed and lost his mind and distracted his teammates.
Yeah. Frankly. And Mark Pryor, you know, could have stepped up, too. He was a major league pitcher who was a big star at the time.
And maybe the shortstop. Who's the shortstop who made the two errors on the
Gonzalez?
Yes, yes.
And maybe Dusty or Rothschild should have gone out and talked to Pryor. There's a whole bunch of things that happened.
Maybe Pryor shouldn't have been left in when they're up 10-1 in the eighth inning of Game Two. So we had a little more in the tank for Game Six. You know.
And maybe Kyle Farnsworth should have done something when he came in instead of giving up like 3-4 more runs. Hollinsworth
Maybe Dusty should have used a starter in relief instead of Dave Veers. Okay, I mean, look.
Oh my God, Dave Veers.
I know we could do this all day.
And then, we could do this all day.
Yeah. What is one thing you would change if you were commissioner, Paul Sullivan? What's one thing you would change?
Oh my God, I would fire Manfred. Could I do that, or is he already gone? I guess.
Yeah, he's already gone. Your commissioner. He's gone.
I don't know. I guess, these double headers, I think, are awful, especially now that they're, we kind of get used to the 7-inning double headers, and now they're back to 9 innings and split. So I would make it, 1 double header right after the other with 7 innings. I think America has accepted that. That thing, and was born of the pandemic, and now they pretend like the pandemic doesn't even exist anymore. So I like those 7-inning doubleheaders.
Okay. Paul, thank you, man. Appreciate you. And next time you get obfuscated by a hug, we'll call again.
Okay. Thanks, Biggs.
All right. You got it. That's Paul Sullivan joining us right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. All right, I have saved your texts from some angry and cynical Cub fans, so we're going to get to those. But I also want to hear from you, the somewhat positive Cub fans, if you exist. I think you do. And even if you don't, you can also be realistic here and look at things and say, overall team, not doing great. Overall team, 8 games back already, 8 games under .500, and 8 games back in the National League Central. But individually, some interesting players actually having some good moments. Wondering about your positives, individual positives on this Cubs team. And we're going to do the thing where we kind of mix it in with the angry and cynical texts as well. So you'll get everything, but let's talk to you at 312-644-6767. Phone lines are now open, certainly for the rest of this hour. I'm Matt Spiegel. I'm here with you on Hit and Run until noon. Top of the hour, we'll talk to the play-by-play voice of the Indianapolis Indians, who has seen the Charlotte Knights, so the White Sox AAA. He has seen the Iowa Cubs, so Cubs AAA. We'll talk about those prospects at the top of the hour. Chris Kampka next hour as well. But next, your phone calls. Give me your individual positives for some of the Cubs players so far this year on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Hooking her up.
Drilled to center, pretty well struck. Azokar back near the wall.
Take it!
Hey, boys, keep me on here. I'll score some runs.
The kid from San Diego bumps one out to straightaway center.
Kyle, take it away. Play by play.
Hell
right
yeah,
now.
Man. Look at that. Get your heater up in the zone. I didn't even see what the pitch was.
We didn't either.
See? He just needed my analysis on his swing. That was it.
Kyle Hendricks there, sitting in with John Bugshambi, and Rick Sutcliffe. That was in San Diego for the Alfonso Rivas home run. And yeah, Kyle Hendricks has been good of late. And it's nice to see now, isn't it? You know, it was really rough there for a while. And then Hendricks just that last time against San Diego, which is why he was on with them, because it had just happened, was just he was terrific. By game score, it was frankly as good as he's ever been in an overall game score. And obviously there are lots of high profile Hendricks moments to look at in his life and in his career. And you can say, no, that he was better that game. He was better against the Dodgers in the NLCS. He was better, you know, in big crucial moments. We've seen him throw the Maddox where you are under 90 pitches for a complete game. We've seen him on opening day be absolutely dominant a couple years back. But that game when he went 8 2/3, gave up 3 hits, struck out 7, walked just 1, was as good as he's ever been. And then last night in Arizona, 5 2/3, gave up 5 hits, struck out just 2, walked 2, did hit a guy. But there you go. So over these last couple games, Hendricks much better, and all of a sudden the overall numbers look a lot more in line with kind of what you were hoping for, and now you need it to be better. We'll see. There are some interesting positives on that Cubs team that I wanted to talk with you guys about. 312-644-6767. Obviously, it's a bleak competitive moment. It's an unfortunate competitive moment. And they're bad. And they're probably going to be bad all year. We'll see what happens in terms of when an influx of younger talent might come. And again, we'll talk to Jack McMullen, top of the hour, about some of that. We'll see what happens in terms of a possible trade away of some of the veteran pieces and what they might actually get for him. And then we'll see what happens in the offseason in terms of more free agent spending, how ready everything will be deemed for that kind of spending. But yeah, it's bleak. But individually, there's some stuff. There's some stuff to feel good about, some specifics to feel good about. And I'm wondering what yours are. 312-644-6767. Feel free to call or text him in. Rowan Wick is showing you some maturity and some moxie as a late inning guy that I was certainly was starting to doubt. There's just like, I mean, the stuff has been there with the two pitches big time, with the fastball, the four seamer, and with the curveball that has that nasty 12-6 break there from that big time vertical drop. But, you know, it just seemed to be something sort of missing from the approach, from the mentality. There's something kind of missing. This year, he's looked a lot better. And part of what's also looked better has been, technically, he added a cut fastball back in. So now he's got a cut fastball that he's using, and he throws it sometimes when he's behind in the count to just get a strike and get ahead, knowing that he might get contact on it, but it should be soft or weak contact, as opposed to just full-on challenging with the fastball in the zone. So now we'll throw that cutter, and he's back to a three-pitch mix, and I think that's actually helped him quite a bit. And so Rowan Wick has looked good, and that's been very nice to see. So I'll give you that one first of all. You know, he's hurt right now, but David Robertson is just terrific. David Robertson will probably get dealt to a team wanting a bullpen piece. I love that guy. And after we got a chance to talk to him a couple weeks ago, Danny Parkins and I, and really got to hear the personality there and kind of understand what his mentality is, how he goes about it, that's a very easy guy to root for. Has never cared if he is a 7th inning guy, 8th inning guy, 9th inning guy. Last year with the Tampa Rays, he was a 5th inning guy or a 4th inning guy sometimes. Has never really cared. And now he's back to being a 9th inning guy, and he's just going out there. His mentality is just throw the best stuff I got for strikes and hope good things happen.
And delivers the 0-2. Swing and a miss. Strike 3. 2 away. Got him with the curveball.
That's Rowan Wick from last night. So, yeah, both those guys, in that bullpen have been nice to see. 312-644-6767. Here's a text. I hate that our team is filled with old rookies. Put in the young guys like Rivas. Huh. How old is Alfonso Rivas?
I think he's 26.
Yeah, so it's not as if he's 25. He's 25. But yes, Rivas is in, and Rivas is a big time is a big time guy to feel good about. I'm not saying he's going to be a big time player, but he is certainly someone to feel good about. I love the way that he approaches his at bats. He's aggressive defensively and very capable defensively, and that's been nice to see.
Just really calm in the batter's box too. You know, I've always liked that.
Yep, he's a really, really good and competent and comfortable hitter in the batter's box. Takes a good long at bat when he needs to. Isn't afraid to do so. Makes good contact. Happy to hit it the other way. Very, very capable dude. I like seeing that guy. So there's a couple ups for me, and I'd love to hear one of yours as well. 312-644-6767, and callers will get to you in a minute. But here's some of the cynical texts that are coming in here, and there's a lot of them. Who would actually stick with the Cubs through this, says a texter. They flipped the team because they didn't want to spend during COVID. Now they've just decided they can coast on Wrigley. I see this happening every few years if Ricketts are in town. I'm out as long as they're here. Man, it didn't take long for some people to flip to a Tribune Company Part 2 situation.
I think Sanzel's around to buy the team again.
This is the nature of humanity, I guess. Man. There were some baseball reasons that some of those things were done, people. It wasn't just all, let's just strip it during COVID and just let's just decide to stay here. No, it was, I mean, Rizzo got less than they offered him. Baez got less than they offered him. Bryant got a lot, but Bryant's one guy that they had decided years ago, and I told you this years ago, they had decided they weren't going to invest in, whether it was the physical issues or whether it was, you know, his desire to stay a certain kind of hitter when they were trying to change him a little. They were out on that. They messed up on Schwarber. In my opinion, they messed up on Schwarber. But if you stand right here and look at it, you know, in terms of Rizzo and Baez and Bryant, you can have the emotional remorse, and I certainly understand that would never get in your way, but in terms of the logical remorse and financial remorse, the evidence just isn't there on that being an issue or that being a problem. Another texter says, how can I be positive about a team run by cynics? The Ricketts are absentee profiteers. Should go by, you know, no, they're not absentees. Tom's not. Laura's not. They're there. They're around. You can call them profiteers, but they're not absentee. Someone who will treat the club with a little dignity. Man, angry, angry people. Based on a quick poll in my house, 12-year-olds appear to be the demo for optimistic Cub fans. There you go.
All right. Well, at least they got that going for them, huh?
Texter says it was the Yu Darvish trade. What did they get back? They got back a lot of very young pieces, some who may be useful. Owen Casey's probably the best of the bunch. But yeah, that is the one. That is the one, and it was first, and it felt like a harbinger. That's one that's hard. That was hard to wrap your head around because that was absolutely what you thought it was doing.
Right. Well, like
cutting money off the books. That one was cutting money mm-hmm. off the books and trying to jumpstart a restock of a farm system when they had realized what they were going to do. That they realized that they were going to have to do this.
Yeah.
And I get it. I get it. I just, boy, the cynicism and just the overall downtrodden, cynical nature is just such a crap-ass way to go through one's life that I fight against it with the very essence of my being because it's a very unpleasant way to live a life, especially on a glorious Sunday morning when there are two baseball games pending. But we are here as your vessel and your outlet for the feelings. That's for damn sure. Let's go to the phone lines. 312-644-6767 is the number. Nathan is on I-90. Nathan is on Hit and Run this morning. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning. Hey, I love the show and love the afternoons with you and Parkin. So my comment overall is just, you know, my positive for the year has been Contreras. You know, I agree with your comments. They missed on Schwarber. Huge. I mean, I think that guy's just going to be he's going to be killing it moving forward. Yeah, the Rizzo and the Bryant and the Baez is a little of an emotional situation, but I think they're okay on Bryant and Baez passing. Rizzo, you know, he fits with the short right field and in the Yankee Stadium. But Contreras, he's still hitting the ball so hard. I mean, he's 30. He hits the ball for power. He's, I don't think he's probably batting, what, 285, 290 right now, something. It's just been, that's been my biggest frustration, still moving forward past some of these previous moves. I wanted to kind of hear your thoughts overall. But that still remains a positive for me, for the whole team. So, yeah, anyways, yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
He's been terrific. Thanks for the call, Nathan. He's been absolutely terrific and a joy to watch. And there's been lots of lots of joy in watching him on a lot of different levels, because Contreras, you know, the moment with him and William, his little brother in Atlanta, was beautiful. It's been a really interesting thing to see him kind of grow and mature. Physically, I used to talk about the unnecessary cat-like reflexes of Wilson Contreras, that he was very jumpy and didn't need to be. He's less like that while still being as energetic and quick-twitch athletic as he used to be behind the plate when he's there. There's a lot to like. And just offensively, he's locked into trying to get very hard contact. The hitting coach, Greg Brown, was talking about that. That's what you can control as a hitter, is just hitting the ball hard as much as you can. Where it goes, that'd be a nice thing to control. And obviously the very, very best can do that. But hit it hard, mostly straight. Don't be afraid to go the other way when the pitch puts you out there, when the swing puts you out there. Hit it hard and hope for good things. And that's what Wilson is doing. Conversely, on not allowing the ball to be hit hard, here's a positive for you. Drew Smyly. Drew Smyly is a guy, like, that is a grab as a potential sign-in flip. And I know that they did some of this in 13 and 14. You remember when they would sign guys like Scott Feldman, Paul Mahalam, and then flip them and try to turn them into young players that would help. And, of course, Feldman, they really did with the Arrieta trade, Arrieta and Pedro Strop for Feldman and Steve Clevenger. But Smyly is eliciting very soft contact. He's doing a very nice job coming off, you know, a couple massive injuries and some time with different organizations where it wasn't happening. He and the Cubs pitching infrastructure have gotten together nicely, and he's throwing a really solid and varied three-pitch mix that is eliciting a lot of soft contact and having a nice year on that front. Boy, it's hard when you start going big picture and you want to talk through the whole thing. I feel like I've done it a lot. And I don't know whether people still want me to do it. Talk through the entire arc of the whole damn thing of, like, why they chose from a baseball perspective to tear it down and restock and try to go back. Why some of the reasons that they chose to do it are their own fault, because they waited too long to make decisions on some of the key guys. They waited too long to possibly trade or sign to an extension some of those key offensive pieces like Baez and Bryant and Schwarber. And they ended up pushing themselves all the way to the limit. They wanted to give it one more chance as a competitive year. And the real problem, the real biggest problem, is that they drafted like crap. They drafted and developed poorly for several years. And that's why they could not continue down that path and just spend again and spend again and spend again when they weren't going to have any kids coming up to help out as the cheap labor and as the extra talent towards the bottom of a roster. Didn't have it. Wasn't going to happen because they drafted poorly. So that's on them. The whole thing has to work together. And that's why, like, you know, I've heard people say, I think someone said on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday, the rebuild was a failure. It wasn't a failure. You know, and if you're mad at Theo or you're mad at the rebuild, you got to understand how perfect that thing worked for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. It's just that it didn't work after that because it wasn't perfect long term. It wasn't perfect overall in a decade. They have not been able to continue and stay with sustained excellence because they didn't draft well enough and didn't develop well enough, and then spent money on some free agents that did not work out in certain times. Would you feel differently if Darvish had been great in that first year and they'd won, gotten back to a World Series? Sometimes I wonder about that because that was a failure. And Brandon Morrow was obviously a colossal failure. Tyler Chatwood was a failure. So there were some bad spends in there. But the bottom line is they got to this point before last year and they're like, oh, we don't really have anybody we're going to be bringing up to help out with this thing. And so they chose to restart it. And I get it. From a baseball perspective, I get it. So, look, I can understand it intellectually. It feels like a lot of people cannot and suffer and struggle with it. And I understand and I have empathy for it. But maybe it's because I've talked it through so many different times on different shows. Maybe it's because I've mapped it out. I understand the frustration, but I'm also able to see some of the baseball reasons that they did it. 670, the score is where you are. It's Spiegs on Hit and Run. We'll talk about some of those AAA prospects for both sides of town, top of the hour. In the meantime, keep it here and hop on in on Hit and Run on the Score.
Hit and Run, Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Yoan blasts this ball. Center field. Hicks back. This one is leaving and we are tied. Oh, he got that one in a big way.
$26 in my hand.
Ah, the Velvet Underground is New York City to me, man. Always will be. Up to Lexington. 125. The Yankees are here. They don't really feel like the Velvet Underground, though. Gritty and filthy and seedy and scary. Although I guess they are scary. That lineup can be scary. The Yankees are good. I was looking at that outfield and I was like, man, that's crazy. Those are three right fielders. Three very tall, rangy, powerful guys out there in that outfield last night. Giancarlo Stanton in right last night. Aaron Judge playing center last night. Joey Gallo playing left. All three of them capable of playing center at different points in their life and careers. All three of them, I think of predominantly as right fielders, but Joey Gallo has played the most games of his life in left field. So it doesn't really work. I thought I was so happy. I was sitting there at the game and like had that thought. Ooh, when's the last time there was an outfield that was made up of three guys who were predominantly right fielders? But no, Gallo has played more games than left. Anyway, Yankees and White Sox for another one today, and Cubs in Arizona for another one today. You'll hear that game coming up later on this afternoon on 670 The Score. Ben, I talked a bunch about the Cubs in the last segment, some of the big picture stuff, and your input is certainly appreciated. One said, thanks, Matt, you have a way of calmly explaining what happened to the Cubs. That's fine. I appreciate that. I'm trying to. There's another. The rebuild totally makes sense. It's just frustrating. Doesn't seem like there's urgency. Cynicism comes from the fact that it isn't the Tribune Company, which had the excuse of being a smaller company that ultimately provided a local public service. It's hard to feel like like they shouldn't be spending more from the Ricketts' perspective. A lot of people angry. And here's one. There was a time when Theo was at the forefront of running a team. While at the Cubs, some other teams in front offices passed him by. They were late to respond. And as you said, player draft development was lackluster. Yes, this is something that it's okay to admit. It's okay to admit and okay to see that Theo was absolutely brilliant, really, really good. And also at some point, you know, things just didn't stay at the very forefront. And they weren't able to extend the window because of some of their own internal failings. And he realized it. The last 2 years that he was here, a lot of it was spent rebuilding an infrastructure that they had let go poorly. So new director of hitting, new director of pitching, new director of development, new director of scouting, all that stuff. And then Jed takes over. And of course, there's a new GM under him. But lots of stuff like that. You know, I wrote a column when the Darvish trade happened. And that's a tipping point for a lot of people. And I stand by the thought process that I had then, which was that they waited too long. They waited too long to make the decision on some of these people. But if you were really looking at the offense, you knew they weren't good enough, right? The playoffs kept showing it. The playoffs kept showing what the offense was. At the All-Star break in 2018, after that All-Star break, the Cubs were 24th in MLB in home runs, 23rd in OPS, 27th in slugging. From September 1st and on that year, remember how bad they were that year when they fell apart? 25th in OPS, 27th in slugging. And Theo knew the offense was broken. Remember the comments at the end of the year? Something happened in our offense in the second half. We stopped walking. We stopped hitting home runs. The league had figured them out as a group. Baez, Bryant, and Rizzo in the postseason after 2016, they were 19 for 141. They hit 134 as a trio with 51 strikeouts and 6 walks. Now, they loved their young players. They were enamored with them. And they held on to them so long, and I think too long. And by the time they got to where they were, they realized that their best player, Darvish, here at his peak at 34, at that moment in that economy and the industry, they didn't have leverage for anybody. Because it's taken a step back. And it's ugly. It's ugly sometimes when they realize that, boy, we're not good enough. Maybe before you realized it, I knew that offense wasn't good enough. And they realized that they were going to do what they did with all of those offensive core players, which is hold them as long as they could and then trade them off for pieces. And if you're going to do that, then you might as well trade off some of the other pieces for young players and restock your system and jumpstart your rebuild as best you can. Disappointing how much they got for Darvish at the time, I understand. But overall, you've got a stocked farm system, and you're taking a big, old, uncompetitive, unpleasant step back this year. But hopefully it's just 1 year. Hopefully it's just 1 year. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. It speaks here with you on Hit and Run. One more hour to go. The play-by-play voice of the Indianapolis Indians, Jack McMullen, will join us next to talk about some kids and some minor league rules that are happening and will be in MLB at some point soon, too. Chris Kempka coming up at 11:25. Keep it here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? I
feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.